Because whenever I opened the bulletin and looked down there and it said something to ponder, today I was going to share with you a message about the good old days. And it was interesting because in something to ponder, she put the past gone, can't change it, present here, you're living it, future coming, where will you spend it? So that's a pretty good sermon outline. I still have a television antenna that I pick up signals on, and I forget which one it is, but there's one of the channels still carries Archie Bunker's show, All in the Family. Some of you remember that. Now, some of the kids are sitting there, and they just went into neutral because they have no idea what I'm talking about, like antenna and things like that. But anyway, All in the Family ran on CBS. And this is another change that's occurring, talking about the good old days. I found out my son, Paul, is in the millennial generation. And the millennial generation is watching less television than any generation since television came about. Yeah, it's good, but it's also very interesting. It talks to us about change. And I thought about that when I was doing this illustration. Some of the millennial generation wouldn't know what I'm talking about. Even if I say CBS, they wouldn't know what I'm talking about. But from 1971 through 79, the most popular show on television was All in the Family. And it was followed up by Archie Bunker's Place 4 more years, but that wasn't quite as popular. From 1971 to 76, it was television's top-rated show. But many of you are like me. You remember 1971 through 76. How many TV channels did you have? Three, possibly four if you got PBS. At the beginning of every episode, Archie and Edith Bunker are at the piano playing and singing Those Were the Days. And I'd look that up. You know, that's not a real song. That song was written for the show. And it's interesting because in that short song, they sing about how great the past was. They sing about Glenn Miller's band. Now, the kids, again, are sitting there going beep, 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 you know. But we'll get to the kids later on. They sang about how their LaSalle ran great. How many of you remember a LaSalle? Thank you, you're showing your age. It was kind of like a discount Cadillac. It was actually made by the Cadillac Corporation. And then they went on to say, Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. Well, that, of course, was satire, but, I thought about that and thought about that song, and we all, listened to the song and this, that, and other. And LaSalle, as I understand, was a good car, and Glenn Miller was good. But then Herbert Hoover, he was a one-term president. He inherited the economy that was going downhill rapidly, and just months after he took office, the Great Depression hit. And whether he deserved it or not, he got a lot of the credit for it. Hoover caught a lot of the blame. As a matter of fact, when people would lose their homes and end up living in shacks, they'd call them Hoovervilles. And in retrospect, Hoover probably wasn't to blame for much of the Depression, but the small, cautious steps that he took probably didn't help a whole lot. And most people who remember those days when Herbert Hoover was president would not look back and talk about them as really good old days. But, memory is an interesting thing, isn't it? Numbers 11 and verse 5 is a very, very simple passage. One verse, we're just going to pull it out. But in Egypt, Israel was in slavery under cruel taskmasters. Even many of their firstborn sons were killed when Pharaoh was trying to kill Moses. Their history was a people declining from a favored people to a slave generation. They were much despised by the Egyptians. When they got into the wilderness and were eating the manna that was provided by God, we get to Numbers 11 and verse 5, and listen to what they say. They've been getting manna from God all this time, and they said, "We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt, freely. The cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Verse 6, they continue, but now our soul is died away. There's nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. It's amazing how we remember the past. A spiritual leader one time was asked to come into a church and do a survey and look at the church and the congregation. And he did it in the late 1990s. And when he finished up, he sat down to give the church a report. They wanted to know why they were not growing and why they were not reaching new people. And when they met together, he started out by saying, "This church is in great shape if tomorrow is 1965. Happy Days is a good show. Good old days are a great memory, but we cannot afford to live in the good old days. First of all, what bothers me is many of you will know what I mean. First of all, the good old days are not as good as we misremember. Did you catch that? They're not as good as we misremember. Now, some of you are probably wondering what that misremember means, when our memory isn't all that good. I had a friend I used to work with in radio when I was going to school, and he had several words and phrases like that. One of them was, "Don't remember to forget." Okay. Gary Downs would be broadcasting a ball game or something like that in the local community, and Gary would get all excited, and he'd be talking about the next game or something that's coming up, some big event, and he would say, "Don't remember to forget." And problem was, what bothered me is I knew what he was talking about. You know, we often remember the best and forget the rest. Wyvon and I will often talk with fondness as we recall our days serving in Malaysia, and we'll talk about our friends there, and we'll talk about the food there, and all of the time that we spent, the 10 years we were in Southeast Asia. But you know, it's interesting when we talk about that, we never fondly remember the air so thick that you could see what you were breathing. We used to joke and say when we'd come to the United States, it made us nervous because we couldn't see the air we were breathing. we rarely talked about those wonderful days when the air was thick and the heat and the humidity were both 95. And that was most of the time. But you know, we do a lot like what Israel was doing in the wilderness. God had provided manna for them to eat in the wilderness, and it was sweet and good. You know, we read that and we look at that and we say, how ungrateful. God provided manna that was sweet and good, and they weren't even thankful for it. Now, be careful that you don't condemn them too much until you've walked a mile in their shoes, okay? One pastor was going to preach on that passage where they got the manna in the Old Testament. And he said, you know what? I'm going to do something. He said, I'm going to get me ready to preach this sermon. He said, I know what I'm going to do. And he said he liked chocolate toffee energy bars. So he said, I know what I'm going to do. The week before I preach this message, he said, I'm only going to eat chocolate toffee energy bars and drink water. So the first day, he ate three or four of those chocolate toffee energy bars, drank the water, and felt good at the end of the day. On the second day, he felt all right, and he had a chocolate toffee energy bar for breakfast, and then he had one for lunch, but he just skipped dinner. On the third day, he ate three, but that was because he had to. He'd get weak otherwise, and so he had three chocolate toffee energy bars on the third day. By the fifth day, he started to cheat. Now, you've never gone on a diet and cheated, have you? Of course not. I've discovered if I go on a diet, the only way I can't cheat is if it's not there. On the fifth day, he got some cheese and crackers to eat with his chocolate toffee energy bars. He finally finished his week And he said, I have never eaten a chocolate toffee energy bar since. But you know, they forgot the slavery. They forgot the struggles. And controlled by their appetites, they remembered the cucumbers and the fish and the leeks and the onions and the garlic of Egypt. They misremembered how it really was. Sometimes we're guilty of that in our churches, aren't we? We get stuck in the good old days and never get past it. Nothing is ever as good. Nothing is ever as exciting. Nothing ever measures up to the good old days. Perry Noble, who's a pastor and a writer, wrote several signs that a church is in trouble. One of them, he said, a sign when a church is in trouble is when excuses are made about the way things are instead of embracing a willingness to roll up your sleeves and deal with the problem. And I love this quote. Hard work spotlights character. Some people turn up their sleeves, some people turn up their nose, and some people just don't turn up. So you can take that to the bank. One of the signs the church is in trouble is when the focus of the church is to build a great church rather than building up the kingdom of God. And he said one of the signs a church is in trouble is the goal of the church is to simply maintain the way things are. And the church is no longer willing to take a step of faith because there's too much to lose. Getting stuck in the good old days causes us to create a fantasy world that really never existed and never will exist. Because the good old days are not really as good as we remember. Second, getting stuck in the good old days diverts us from recognizing the blessings of the present. I read a story the other day. A medical doctor was speaking to a group of young doctors who just started their training. And he said, let me ask you to count off 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and every fifth person stand up. And so they went around the room, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and the fifth one stood up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and the fifth one stood up. By the time they got around, there were several in the room that were standing. And he said, I want you to turn and look at those that are standing. And they did. And he said, 25 years ago, one of every five people in this room would have died before reaching this age. And he said, those standing represent the ones who would not be here except for advances in medical science. Pretty hard-hitting picture. I remember one time somebody talking about history. And they mentioned the Spanish flu. And I said, well, my grandmother on daddy's side died in 1918 of the Spanish flu. And they were shocked. They said, she must have been very old. I said, no, she wasn't very old. I think she was probably in her early 30s. But I went on to explain to them that they didn't have antivirals and didn't have antibiotics and all the things we have today. And in that time, it was not uncommon for parents to have two or three children in the cemetery who died of what we now consider common childhood diseases. We have many blessings today, which we're prone to forget. You know, in Psalm 78:41, I'm not going to ask you to turn to it, but it refers back to this passage in Numbers that we just read, where it says, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Now, I heard that thought. Some of you are sitting there thinking, Brother Don, are you saying that we could limit God? Listen very carefully. When we get stuck looking back at the good old days, it diverts us from recognizing the blessings of the present. It makes no difference whether God is blessing or not if we can't see it. And because we don't see God's blessings, we begin to lose faith. And when we lose faith, we close the door to more blessings, because you see, God blesses the faithful. You've all heard the story, I'm sure, the guy that was working on the barn roof. And he's one of those kind of steep roofs. And he's working away on it. And all of a sudden he starts sliding and there's nothing to grab onto. And if he falls off that barn roof, it's going to be bad, because it's a long ways to the ground. And so as he's sliding down that roof, he yells out and says, "Lord, help me." And about halfway down, a nail catches his coveralls and stops him. And he looked up and said, "Never mind, God, this nail caught me." The good old days. They never were as good as we misremember. And if we're not careful, they'll divert us from recognizing the blessings of the present. One more thing I want to say about the good old days. They cause us to focus in the wrong direction. When Wyvon's not home, I watch MythBusters. Now, some of you don't know what that is. Every man that's here knows. Every guy. She's not out often, so I have about 60 of them recorded to watch whenever she's gone. She wonders what I do when she's gone. That's what I do. I saw one the other day, and they had a question: was a car as aerodynamic going forward as it was going backward? And of course, you know, the simple answer to that would be to use a wind tunnel and, you know, have it go forward and then have it go backward and see how it worked. But that would have been too simple. So they took a car, and I don't know how they did it, but they took the body of the car and turned it totally around on the frame, so that the guy inside that's driving the car, he's facing forward on the frame, but outside the car looks like it's going backwards. So they got some real interesting looks. Could you imagine, you know, you look over and there's a car passing you, then it's going backwards? It looked kind of funny. They found out that the car was more aerodynamic going forward than backward, which I figured anyway. Now, you know, that's kind of funny, but it's not so funny when you look at a person or a whole church that's looking backwards. Now, I'm going to get personal here. It may offend some of you, but that's all right. I'm going to be gone in a little while. Many people miss out on the blessing of their children and grandchildren and even great-grandchildren because they had a loss in their life, maybe even so personal as a husband or a wife, and for them life ended there. I've known of churches who had a great ministry in the past, and for them, history ended there. They always look back, and they defend against anything that would be different from their history. Don't misinterpret me here. I love history. I have a son who taught history for several years. I believe you can learn a lot from history. And don't misinterpret me here. I've never lost a spouse, but I've lost family, and I've lost a mother and a father, and I know how difficult it is. And let me tell you, I understand that when they're gone, nothing is ever the same. But I also know the promises of God. Jeremiah 29:11, where he says, "I know the thoughts or the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a blessing, an expected end," is what they translated as. God's plan for us is to bless us. I cannot explain to you why things happen as they do, but I do know that if God has left you here, it is because he has plans for you, and those plans are to bless you. And I like that King James translation of the last part of Jeremiah 29 because other translations change it. But it says, to give you an expected end. I like that. In other words, God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans of peace and not evil, and to bring you to the end that I have prepared for you. When your time has ended, he will take you home. Let me encourage you not to get stuck in the good old days. They aren't as good as we misremember. They divert us from recognizing the blessings of the present, and they cause us to focus in the wrong direction. One man who's a deeper thinker than me put it this way, and I had to think about this for a while. He said, we live in a day of discontinuous change. I had to chew on that a little bit. Basically, what he was saying is we live in a day where change is not always constant or steady, but change always happens. And we will either deal with change or we will die trying to hold on to the good old days. We have a choice. Now, if I haven't made you mad yet, I will now. Now, this is a very different sermon. I'm preaching to the church here, okay? Preaching to the church. And I've being a pastor, being director of missions, I know what I'm talking about. Whether you like it or not, when the kids come into this church, they come in from a home, most likely, that has internet. Matter of fact, many of them walk into the building with a little thing in their pocket that has internet on it. Now, whether you know how to use it or not, some of you have it on your phone, but you hadn't figured out it's there yet. They have video games they can play online. They have 250 channels of high-definition television. They read books on their Kindle, and they text their friends several hundred times a day. They are now required, because I know this because my son is a part of this with the Lake County Schools, they are required, before they graduate from high school, they have to take at least one course online to be able to graduate, because more than likely, in college, they will be required to take at least one course or more online. Now, I didn't say it's good, and I didn't say you like it. Folks, I'm telling you what is, okay? When these young people come into the church, that's where they come from. And they come into the church, and we hand them a quarterly made out of paper. Maybe the only piece of paper they've handled all week. And they go in to listen to a teacher lecture to them. And if they're up to date, they might use a video projector. If they're not up to date, they might use a whiteboard or a chalkboard. Or they may have the joy of going in class and learning about a flannel graph. Now, most of these kids are sitting there going, it's a busy signal. They don't know what that is. Then, I told you I was going to make you mad. Then they come into worship and are expected to sing. Now, we didn't do that too much this morning, so it was good. A lot of times they come into worship service and are expected to sing several songs that were written in the 1800s, followed by another lecture from the pastor. Perry Noble, one of the things he listed in 15 Signs, Your Church is in Trouble, I thought it was real good. He said, the people in the church lose sight of the next generation and refuse to fund ministry simply because they don't understand those young people. That ought to help the auction a little bit. And we wonder why they don't come back. Now listen. Proverbs 18, verse 15 says this, "The mind of the discerning acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks it." We must be careful in the church to protect the message and the truth. We hold on to the biblical message. We hold on to the biblical truth. But listen, folks, oftentimes we're not guilty. We're guilty of holding on to the wrong things. We hold on to a building, or we hold on to the, you know, that world, you know, seven last words of the church. We've never done it that way before. We hold on to it because we've always done it. We hold on to it because we're comfortable with it. We had one church, you know, about 15 years ago when I first came here, I had a video projector, and I was going to show a video at a church one Sunday night, and the pastor said, "You can't do that." And I said, "Why?" He said, "It's in our constitution and bylaws that you can't use a projector in the church." I wanted to ask him how many people had a television at home, but I didn't. Listen, God's people need to be on the cutting edge. Now I'm not young anymore, okay? I know that. When you'd not believe it. But every week, two or three times a week, I get a couple of emails. One of them is from an organization called CNET. And CNET, all they do is they talk about new technology that's coming along. And not only that, I get an email from Kim Commando. You may have heard her on the radio. And she talks about new technology and stuff like that. The reason I get those folks is because I think we ought to be on the cutting edge rather than hiding and letting the world, let me tell you, the internet should have been the greatest opportunity to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ that ever has existed. But it has become the greatest source of pornography that has ever been in existence anywhere. That's right. Television should have been, radio should have been. But too often, by the time, you know, if you get on my, I have cheap TV channels, okay? So I get the discount channels. Half of them are religious channels. And most of them aren't real good, to be honest with you. Our world is passing us by. We cannot afford to live in the good old days. I do not believe in change for change's sake. If you want to test me on that, you ask my wife about when I get a t-shirt that I like. I'm not going to throw it away until it just won't stay on me anymore. History and heritage, the truth, the past are all very important. But listen, time always moves forward. We can resist it. We can fight it. Or we can move forward knowing that God is in charge in 2015 like he was in 1915 and 1815 and all the way back. Amen. I loved what I read the other day. A guy was talking about changes in church attendance. And he said, everything you read about church attendance is bad. But he said, I have hope for the future. Because he said, when the gospel grew the fastest was when it was introduced into a world that knew nothing about the gospel. And he said, we're getting close to that today. Embrace the future. You know, in closing, and this is kind of a strange way to close, you remember the last hurricane came through? Yeah, it's been a while. So, yeah, y'all think about that. It's been a while. You might make note of that. You know, I've lived through several hurricanes and this, that, and the other, but when there are hurricane warnings, it's interesting to see how people react. Some people react by ignoring it, saying, oh, it'll turn at the last minute. They're usually the ones that end up standing in line first at the help centers because they made no preparations. There are those who stay where they are and say, well, this house hasn't blown away yet, so I'm just going to stay in it and hope for the best. And then there are those who will listen and will do what's needed and then return to help. I had a guy tell me one time, he asked us about the Florida Baptist disaster relief, most of the equipment's at Lake Yale. And he said, where would the, if a Category 5 hurricane was coming in through Tampa, headed up Tampa Bay, he said, where would the Florida Baptist disaster relief be? And I said, the state fairgrounds in Perry, Georgia, because they're not going to be in Lake Yale. And he said, why not? I said, because if it's torn up and blown away, it's not going to help anybody. Listen, you may not like change. You may resist the future. But listen, God's still in charge. Amen. The gospel is still the gospel. Heaven is still heaven. Hell is still hot. Sin is still bad. And the world needs to know it. And we need to be his voice more now than ever before. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we thank you for